the future of sports radio.
Woo!
Now.
Oh, I'm so happy I can't even feel my arms.
With Notch.
Me in the NBA? Really? My God, thank you. Can I bring my son Fred with me?
Mark my words, as long as I'm alive, you'll both...
It's now June and we can focus on the NBA Finals. Wait a minute, Miami's going to be in the NBA Finals. So let's talk about May now. Last month was a great month in the association. A lot of great storylines, and one common theme in those storylines is something that's distinctive to the NBA. They represent 25% of the league, basically, and they also represent the only professional sports in their respective cities. Five of those cities had a great May. Well, Oklahoma City, they've had a tough May with the weather, the tornadoes. If you can donate, by the way, to the Red Cross or any of the other organizations and help out the people of Oklahoma, you should do that. The NBA team didn't have a really good month, but that was mainly self-inflicted. James Harden, the Houston trade, that didn't work out for them. But they've got Kevin Durant. They're still going to be a force. Westbrook's coming back next year. Damian Lillard of Portland won Rookie of the Year. They're looking up. Memphis, they've had the best year they've ever had. They made it to the conference finals for the first time. Unfortunately, I hate to say this because I like the Grizz, but history isn't on their side. History says that this is probably the high point of their existence, and they're going to have to do some stuff in the offseason to keep from regressing. The team that beat the Grizzlies in the West, San Antonio, of course, they've got one final run they're making. They're in the finals with Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, Popovich. And then the biggest victory of all in May, it's not going to show up on the court, but it's going to show up, well, the fact they still have a court, Sacramento. They get to keep the Kings. So it's like I always say, a crappy team is better than no team at all. And Sacramento, they get to keep their 30-win team, which is good for them. That opens up Seattle, the Supersonics, to get an expansion team. That's 31 teams if they add Seattle, and they probably will in a couple of years. They're talking about when they negotiate the TV contracts. Seattle, the largest TV market, not part of the NBA. So they're going to want to make sure that they get that involved in the TV negotiations. And if the NBA is serious about adding a 32nd team, I've got somebody in mind. I used to live there. I love the place. And it's also, pun intended, the Derby City. It's Louisville, Kentucky. Here to talk with me in more detail about that is Albrecht Stommer of NBA2Lou.com. Albrecht, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
And let's clear something up, because I hear a lot of people doing this on TV and radio. It's not pronounced Louisville.
Not unless you're not from there.
Yeah, that was one of the first things they taught me in radio in Louisville, was how to properly say Louisville.
Yeah, we don't like to enunciate, so we just kind of jam everything together.
Your website is NBA, the number two, and then Lou, L-O-U.com. You also say you have a Facebook page that gets a lot of hits. Your Twitter account also gets a lot of activity. Explain to us exactly what you're trying to do to help get Louisville a team.
What we're trying to do is promote the grassroots support of bringing an NBA team to Louisville. We do have a Facebook page, Bring the NBA to Louisville, with almost 5,000 followers, but we've also got a second page called Bring the Sacramento Kings to Louisville. We started that page 3 years ago when the Kings were first making noise about moving. Obviously, we're trying to merge that page into the Bring the NBA to Louisville page, the more generic page. Between the two, we've got over 10,000 followers, I think about 11,000 and change. So there is certainly latent support there for a team. Obviously, Seattle would be the front runner for the first expansion franchise, but we think it only makes sense to go to 32 teams, 16 per conference, 8 teams per conference making the playoffs. So we think Louisville would be the ideal candidate for the 32nd team.
How serious of an idea is this with the civic leaders and local government, or is this more of a thing where a small segment of the population is saying, you know, it'd be really cool to have an NBA franchise?
Well, Mayor Greg Fisher last July said that he would most certainly be interested in Louisville hosting an NBA team if there were an opportunity. And his official stance is that Louisville needs to be prepared should an opportunity arise, but he's not actively pursuing one, at least not in the sense that the way Kevin Johnson was fighting to keep the Kings there. But he's certainly open to it should an opportunity arise. Governor Steve Beshear is of the same thought process, that if a team becomes available, either for relocation or expansion, that Louisville needs to figure out how we could bring it to Louisville.
All right, they're the 48th TV market. They're actually bigger than Memphis and New Orleans. It's a growing market. Let's talk about why Louisville. Jefferson County, Southern Indiana, what's the drawing card?
Well, I think there are four primary drawing cards. Number one, the city is box ready with a plug-and-play arena. The KFC Yum Center is as nice as any basketball arena in the country. Mm-hmm. It would need only a few minor changes, upgrades to house an NBA team. You can see in Seattle, Sacramento, one of the main obstacles in their battles to keep or to attract a team has been the arena issue. In Louisville, this issue is already solved. There's an arena there in desperate need of additional revenue, so another tenant would make sense. Second, it's the second best untapped basketball market in the United States outside of Seattle. I think Seattle certainly deserves a team because they had a history, a 40-year history of supporting the Sonics. The Sonics did very well there. It's a massive television market, like you said, the biggest television market in the U.S. without an NBA franchise. But aside from Seattle, I don't think there's a better untapped basketball market than Louisville. We love our hoops down here. I always point to a great example, December 8th, 2010. The University of Louisville in San Francisco played a game at the KFC Yum Center and drew 21,049 fans. 30 minutes later at Freedom Hall, 5 miles down the road, University of Kentucky tipped off against Notre Dame. That's two games, one night, 38,453 fans in two separate arenas, 5 miles apart. A lot of love for hoops in these parts. Third, what you alluded to earlier is that Louisville fits this mold of the kind of the one-horse town. The NBA has been very, very successful in cities where the local NBA franchise is the only pro sports team in town. You mentioned the six teams out west, Sacramento, Memphis, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Portland, and Utah. You've also got Orlando in the east. Louisville would fit in very well with this type of a business model that the NBA has succeeded with. And if you look at the Western Conference, these one-horse towns have been very, very successful, especially this year. Memphis, San Antonio, Oklahoma City all had fantastic seasons and made deep runs in the playoffs. And fourth reason is if you look at NBA expansion history, of the teams that they've added since 1980, post-NBA-ABA merger, that would be Dallas, Miami, Charlotte, Minnesota, Toronto, Vancouver, and Orlando. Of those seven cities, five were previous ABA cities. Dallas, Miami, Charlotte, Minnesota, and Toronto, or actually Minnesota. Toronto was an NBL city, the National Basketball League, a precursor to the NBA. But the fact is five of those seven cities hosted professional basketball franchises before the NBA went there. So Louisville also has a history from 1967 to 76 of having the Kentucky Colonels. And if you look at the entire picture of the NBA, of the ABA, I'm sorry, the old American Basketball Association, every city that hosted a team is now an NBA city when you throw in Memphis and Utah and New Orleans, cities that have landed relocation franchises, and, of course, Denver, Indianapolis, San Antonio, and now Brooklyn that were originally ABA cities that have also were merged into the NBA. Of the entire ABA history, the only cities that don't have NBA franchises now are Richmond, Virginia, San Diego, Pittsburgh, Anaheim, St. Louis, and Louisville. And if we further break down those remaining cities, I think you could arguably say that San Diego, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis are in many ways sports fatigued in terms of professional franchises vis-a-vis their population size. Of course, San Diego has the Chargers and the Padres, and Pittsburgh has the Pirates and the Penguins. St. Louis has the Rams, the Blues, and the Cardinals. So I'm not so sure those cities could host an additional franchise, where Louisville, with its population of 1.3 million people right now, is one of the largest metro areas in the United States without any professional franchise at all. Technically, only the Virginia Beach metro area, which includes Norfolk and Newport News, Virginia, and the Providence, Warwick, Rhode Island, Massachusetts metro area are bigger than Louisville and don't host a franchise.
Now, talking about untapped NBA markets, I think two of the biggest ones, two of the ones with the most potential, are both in the state of Missouri. They both had NBA teams before. The state of Missouri is the most populated state that doesn't have an NBA franchise. St. Louis, the third largest TV market without a franchise. But their arena is nothing special. Scott Trade Center, I'm not really impressed with them. But the Sprint Center in Kansas City, built specifically to get hockey or basketball, it's a fabulous arena, state-of-the-art. They'd have to definitely be someone to consider. Who do you think is the biggest opponent for Louisville as far as getting an NBA team?
I really think, actually, it's Northern Virginia. I think that the Hampton Roads, Newport News area of Northern Virginia, just outside of Richmond, has a strong, strong potential. Again, it's a little bit bigger than Louisville, but there's zero professional sports in that area. St. Louis is a fantastic sports town, but I'm not so sure they can handle a fourth professional franchise. Of course, the Cardinals draw well, and the Blues have a solid following, but I don't know how committed that market would be to bringing in a fourth professional franchise. Similarly with Kansas City, sure, the Chiefs do well, but the Royals have struggled for quite a few years now. And again, I'm not sure if the Kansas City metro area with just over 2 million people can handle a third professional franchise. It might be able to, but I think if I'm a prospective owner, and I'm looking at the Louisville market, it's the secondary market. If you look at where season ticket holders come from, that's primarily a 50-mile radius surrounding a city. And then if you look at corporate support, that would be a 100-mile radius around a city. And if you look at Louisville's secondary market, that 100-mile radius, that's including Metro Cincinnati. That includes Lexington, Kentucky. Those are two pretty big markets, too, that have no professional basketball in them either. So I think when you're looking at Louisville, you're not looking at just the city. You're looking at a much bigger regional base. And if you look at the 150-mile area, that's where we have television markets come into play. Cable franchises would extend into the 150-mile range. You have Nashville suddenly that comes into the Louisville market, too. And just like the Titans have done a fantastic job of marketing Kentucky for football fans, similarly, a Louisville-based franchise could market in Nashville for basketball fans, and certainly they would market into Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Reds have a tremendous following in Louisville. So I think when you're looking at Louisville, it's not just the metro region. It's a wider regional base because basically from Indianapolis all the way to Atlanta and then east to west from Memphis, to Charlotte, there are no NBA franchises. And Louisville could develop itself as a regional franchise in that base, much like Cincinnati has become the tri-state team, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and much like the Titans have really penetrated Kentucky for football fans.
Indianapolis is 2 hours away. Is that a positive or a negative? Because I know part of the Louisville metro area is some of the counties in southern Indiana right there on the Ohio River.
That's a great question. I think, honestly speaking, it's a negative. Two reasons. Like you said, it's 2 hours away, and Indianapolis is also a mid-sized market. They've got two professional franchises there, but the metro population is just a shade under 2 million people. So certainly they have to promote themselves regionally, too. And in southern Indiana, right across the Ohio River from Louisville, you're going to find a lot of Pacers fans. In fact, one of the articles in yesterday's local newspaper in Louisville, the Courier-Journal, was following the most active Twitter conversations in the area, and the most active Twitter conversation yesterday was about the Pacers and the Heat series. And a lot of people in Louisville have kind of adopted the Pacers as their NBA team because it's the closest team. But with that said, when both teams, the Pacers and the Kentucky Colonels, were in the ABA, that was an incredibly fierce rivalry. I think they met in the playoffs five times in nine seasons. And they were arguably the two best teams in ABA history. The Pacers won the most championships. And, of course, when Kentucky won their first championship, they dispatched the Pacers to win it. So that was a very, very intense rivalry, and I think that's something that could be reborn.
Is there a territorial issue where a Louisville franchise would have to compensate the Indiana franchise?
Well, that's certainly something the Indiana Pacers could take to the Board of Governors, but they are not within the 150-mile tertiary market. Of course, with that said, they would share tertiary and secondary markets in some counties in central Indiana, but that would be something that the Indiana Pacers would have to take to the NBA Board of Governors. But keep in mind that this is not Louisville's first dance with the NBA. In 2001, Louisville was considered the prohibitive frontrunner to land both the Vancouver Grizzlies, who eventually relocated to Memphis, and the Charlotte Hornets, who wound up in New Orleans. So this is an issue that's been discussed within the NBA Board of Governors before, so I don't foresee that as being a big issue.
One of the drawbacks I've heard about Louisville as a pro sports city is the college town mentality there. When I lived there, it didn't seem like there was any real loyalty to a specific team citywide. Everybody had their own teams. But for the most part, the strongest loyalties were Cards and Cats. How much of a factor would that be to an expansion team coming there?
Yeah, I hear that a lot too, but I'm not sure that holds water if you really break it down. Local people love the Cats and the Cards, but I think it's a college town primarily because the absence of professional teams there. Was Nashville a college town before it got the Predators and the Titans? Was Charlotte a college town before they landed the Panthers and the Hornets? I think that's a chicken and the egg argument there. Is it a college town because they love college teams or because there are no pro sports teams there? And when pro sports teams come, will people support them? I think they will, because if you look at NBA avidity, fan avidity rankings, Louisville always ranks among the top 10 cities in terms of close followers of NBA games and NBA action, and that's pretty remarkable for a city that doesn't even have a team to call its own. And like you said, even though the Pacers are 2 hours away, I would hardly call the Pacers Louisville's team. We're much more NBA nomads in terms of fandom. I'm the same way. When I grew up there, I generally would follow whatever team had the most former University of Kentucky players. But when I moved from Louisville to Miami, I became a Heat fan.
Uh-oh.
Because that was my local team. So don't worry, you can criticize Heat fans all you want. I'm a former season ticket holder, and I completely understand the ridicule Heat fans are served with, and deservedly so.
Talking with Albrecht Stommer of NBA2Lou.com. Grassroots effort to get Louisville, Kentucky, an NBA franchise. One of the reasons why I mentioned the college town mentality is looking at the drawbacks to a franchise going to Louisville. KFC Yum Center is a fabulous arena, but University of Louisville Cardinals basketball team, they have a lot of say on the branding in the arena, and also they collect a lot of the revenue from the arena, from the events. It's kind of like a professional team in their own right.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, by federal law, publicly owned buildings, specifically arenas and stadiums, the primary tenants can get up to 92% of the revenue, as ridiculous as that sounds. In the KFC Yum Center's case, 88% of arena revenues. Primary financing tool to pay down the construction bonds is something called a tax increment financing district, where the taxes collected above and beyond the taxes collected before construction and opening of the arena are then rebated to repay the construction bonds. So the assumption is that a new arena is going to stimulate all kinds of new activity, new construction, new businesses coming in, fans coming downtown, spending their monies in that district. As a result, tax revenue is going to increase. So because this is new revenue that didn't exist before construction of the arena, they take that new revenue and they rebate it to pay down those construction bonds. It sounds great in theory, but it's a bit of a kind of voodoo economics because there are not a lot of successful examples of this anywhere in the United States. And sure enough, the tax increment financing district around the KFC Yum Center is only producing about 30% of the revenue it was projected to generate. So as a result, the arena is losing money. They've already tapped the maintenance fund has already been emptied, even though the arena has been open only 2 years. And the city's had to increase its contribution to pay down the bonds to the maximum amount of about $9.8 million per year when they were budgeted only to pay about $7 million and change per year. So a lot of issues with the revenue there, and you're absolutely right. The tenant, in this case, the University of Louisville basketball teams, both the men's and women's teams, have a stranglehold on almost all of the revenues.
If you go to the arena, it's amazing the presence the Louisville Cardinals have there, because the logo is literally branded all over the arena. It's basically like it's their arena.
You're right. It's a civic building. It's owned by the Louisville Arena Authority, which is ostensibly a public agency that owns the arena on behalf of the city. But it's basically a University of Louisville arena. With that said, they are the primary tenant. And I think, like other arenas, if those arenas can co-brand, I don't understand why the KFC Yum Center couldn't figure out a way to co-brand the arena if the lease were able to be revised. But you're right. Section 3.2C in the KFC Yum Center lease with the University of Louisville states that branding will be controlled by the university. But like I said, if an MBA team became a possibility, that the university would step up and be a good corporate citizen and be willing to renegotiate the lease to figure out a way that the arena could be co-branded.
Just seems like a needless hassle for any possible future NBA owners to have to deal with. The monopoly U of L's had over the arena has caused kind of a financial albatross for the city. The bonds have been downgraded, is that right?
Right. They haven't lost money technically yet because they emptied that maintenance fund to make their debt payments. But something's got to give soon. They've got to figure out how to generate revenue, and you're absolutely right. The bonds have been downgraded to basically junk status by Standard and Poor's.
You don't want to seem like desperation, though. Does the city of Louisville want an NBA franchise because they think it would succeed in the city? Or is it something where, I don't know, anything to fill the dates? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think it depends on who you mean by the city. Are you referring to local government, the general population, the business community?
Yeah, basically local government, where they're like, we need to have more dates, more events in the arena, and they're thinking an NBA franchise is the best way to do that. Is that just something they're doing to get more dates in the arena to cover the city? Or is it something to where they actually legitimately think that an NBA franchise would work there? Because that's what we're talking about eventually. Is the team being a viable team, not just a team being there for the sake of being there.
Right. Well, I think if you look back, again, this is not Louisville's first dance with the NBA. Keep in mind that there were efforts in 1999 to lure the Houston Rockets to Louisville when they were having arena squabbles with the city there. And then, of course, in 2001, as I mentioned previously, that Louisville was a prohibitive frontrunner to land both the Grizzlies and the Hornets. And that was pre-KFC Yum Center. So I think there's been an effort to lure a team to the city long before the KFC Yum Center's financial woes came to light. What I think this has done is it's added an impetus, a sense of urgency to figure out how to tenant this arena with more dates and certainly 41 NBA games plus potential playoff
games. Yeah, it'd
be a great way to plug in these missing dates. And the thing also is you've got to look at the fact that not all dates are the same. Certainly Friday and Saturday night dates are much more valuable than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Sunday afternoon dates. And if you look at the U of L Cardinals basketball schedule, unfortunately, they only played one weekend night home game because the SEC does that, I'm sorry, the Big East had that weird schedule with 4 p.m. Sunday games. And as a result, there were not a lot of evening dates at the arena. And evening dates, especially Friday and Saturday, that's what brings people downtown or keeps people downtown, eating before the game, drinking after the game, spending money in that tax increment financing district. Whereas weeknight games, you know, of course, people have to work the next day, so there's going to be less festivities. So I think, again, that not all dates are the same. So an NBA team would be able to plug in a lot of those empty Friday night and Saturday night dates that right now, because of scheduling matters outside of their control, the University of Louisville has not been filling on a regular basis.
Now, the president of the university has said the NBA going to Louisville is, in his words, a pipe dream. Is that one of the reasons why they're so resistant to having an NBA franchise share the arena with them? Are they concerned about the NBA taking away their business? Is that part of the reason why they sought such control over the arena from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of posturing. If it were such a pipe dream, then they wouldn't have had to negotiate this anti-NBA lease into their when they moved into the KFC Yum Center. And secondly, I think that's a bit of an empty statement, considering that Mr. Ramsey was the budget director for Governor Ernie Fletcher when Ernie Fletcher was very much in favor of bringing either the Grizzlies or the Hornets to Louisville and, in fact, negotiated on behalf of the state for tax incentives to construct a new arena. So in 2001, he had no problem with it. He was completely on board as a state budget director. But now when he's president of the University of Louisville, suddenly it's a pipe dream. So I think that's a bit of an empty statement. It's posturing on his part to protect his turf. And fair enough, he's president of the university now, and he's looking out for the best interests of his university.
There's kind of a doom angle to some of the articles you've written, like that Louisville may not get an NBA franchise because of the lease with the university. But in a catch-22, it's also like the city is going to suffer if they can't get another tenant to provide a bunch of additional dates for the arena. What's the, I mean, is that something that can be worked out, or is that too big of a mountain to overcome?
Well, that's a great question, and quite frankly, that's up to the university. Legally, they're in a very strong position. They've got a valid lease. between themselves, the University of Louisville Athletic Association, and the Louisville Arena Authority, the owners of the arena. So they're under no legal obligation to change anything in their lease. But with that said, like you had mentioned earlier, arena bonds have already been downgraded. And I think when we look at this downgrade, I'm sorry, it wasn't Standard & Poor's, it was Moody's who downgraded the arena bonds. But it was a double-notch downgrade from Baa3 to Ba2. So that's a pretty significant downgrade. And, of course, Ba2 being junk bonds now. And with that said, what's more troubling is this arena opened in October 2010 and was already downgraded in June of 2012. So in less than 2 years, this arena financing plan has completely fallen apart. So with that said, where U of L is certainly not under any legal obligation whatsoever to renegotiate the lease, at some point there's going to be some significant political blowback when you look at the fact that they're clearing on an annual basis about $20 million per year in revenue, a profit from that arena. And the annual arena payments right now are about $22, $23 million per year. So that's going to be a tough political challenge for them to cover in the future if the city is going to somehow have to figure out how to come up with, say, $10 or $15 million additional dollars to pay down this their obligation to the bonds. And keep in mind, right now, the city is only paying interest on these bonds. Principal payments haven't even started yet. So these debt payments are going to balloon in the next couple of years.
Is it possible down the road when an ownership group emerges, the city could just end up selling the arena to them to ease their financial burden on the debt service?
I guess that's a possibility, but I'm not so sure that a prospective ownership group would be interested in purchasing the arena. Yeah, that would be a lot of debt to transfer onto a balance sheet, especially for an expansion team, because in essence an expansion team would be a startup enterprise. So having to suddenly transfer, say, if it probably within a couple of years when expansion would be realistic or viable, that arena would probably still be about $400 million plus dollars in debt. That would be a big, big liability to transfer onto your balance sheet. So I don't see that as a realistic scenario.
Quickly taking a look at possible ownership groups down the road, there's several Fortune 500 companies in the city, UPS, Humana, Yum Brands, they have the naming rights for the arena. They're also the primary sponsor for the Kentucky Derby. Papa John's Pizza, the founders from there, also has the naming rights to the U of L football stadium. Have any of these, admittedly big money, civic leaders, business leaders, stepped forward about possibly becoming involved in an ownership group? Because eventually you'd want to have a local ownership group. If you got some whales from out of the state, at some point, if it's not good business for them, they could just pack it up and they could move it. And eventually there could be a situation coming up like what happened in Sacramento. The Maloofs have no attachment to the city. Then you got to find local ownership literally at the last hour. So for an expansion team, you'd want to have a local ownership group from the beginning. Is there any kind of read on the money people in Louisville?
Yeah, good question. Actually, let me address a couple things there. First, the whole concept of packing up a team and moving it is really a trend that's dying out. We saw with the NBA here disallowing a sale of the Sacramento Kings by the Maloofs to the Seattle ownership group led by Ballmer, Hansen, and the Nordstrom
brothers. Yeah, but they tried moving to Anaheim before that, though, too.
And that was also turned down by the NBA. That's going to impede on the Los Angeles Lakers and Los Angeles Clippers' territorial claims. Becoming more difficult, but even with that said, since the ABA-NBA merger in 1976, there have been only 8 relocations. And 3 of those, the Nets, the Braves, and the Jazz, took place in the first 3 years after the merger. And the last relocation was the Nets across the river to Brooklyn. So of those relocations, 2 were the same team, the New York Nets hopping across the New York Rivers. So all in all, the idea of an owner taking his or her team and moving it to a different city is becoming more difficult, especially since cities are getting smarter and they're negotiating buyout packages into their arena leases. For example, if you want to move the Grizzlies somewhere, you're going to have to pay about $100 million to get them out of that arena. The same holds true for the Atlanta Hawks. It's going to be about $100 million to get them out of the Phillips Center. So that's becoming more prohibitive. But you're right. Local ownership is absolutely critical. The local attorney who's spearheading this effort, J. Bruce Miller, he's got a commitment from between 23 and 27 local people who are willing to become minority investors in a potential franchise in Louisville, but nobody's yet been willing to step up and become the majority owner. Even though there are some deep-pocketed folks here in town, David Jones, the co-founder of Humana Health Insurance, of course, Junior Bridgman, the former University of Louisville and Milwaukee Bucks star, who also happens to be one of the largest restaurant franchise owners in the United States, has expressed an interest in being involved, but not as a majority owner.
Nobody wants to be the name. Nobody stepped up to be the name.
Not yet. You know, it's like J. Bruce Miller said, Louisville is a city of folks who love to be in the parade, but nobody wants to be out front. So I think as soon as they're willing to be out front, you're going to see a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon. But with that said, in 2001, during the Grizzlies and Hornets pursuits, Kentucky Fried Chicken stepped up in a big way. They offered whatever team, either the Grizzlies or the Hornets, if they were willing to move to Louisville and become the main tenant in a brand new arena, they were willing to offer up $100 million over 20 years for naming rights. And again, this was back in 2001. And if you look at naming rights in the NBA last season, the 2012-2013 season, that naming rights deal that KFC offered back in 2001 would still be the seventh largest in the NBA today. So that was a big way they stepped up in terms of offering $100 million to put their name on the arena for an NBA team. Now, when the NBA deals fell through and the Grizzlies went to Memphis and the Hornets went to New Orleans, Kentucky Fried Chicken again stepped up one more time and became the naming rights sponsor for the current KFC Yum Center, the University of Louisville Cardinal Arena, but under a $13.5 million 10-year naming rights deal with a 10-year renewable option. So assuming they do renew that option, it's going to be a $27 million 20-year deal, whereas they were willing to offer $100 million for 20 years 12 years ago. So certainly Kentucky Fried Chicken saw tremendous value in the NBA as far as becoming a partner in the naming rights deal. And while they've been an excellent corporate citizen and a strong supporter of the University of Louisville, clearly there's not the same financial commitment at only $13.5 million for 10 years.
How much involvement have people in Louisville like Mayor Fisher had with David Stern directly about a possible team?
Mayor Fisher has talked to David Stern, and David Stern is actually the one who collaborated a meeting between Junior Bridgman and local Louisville business leaders and Mayor Fisher last September after Mayor Fisher had announced interest in trying to secure a team for the city. So there has been communication between those two. And also the gentleman I mentioned earlier, J. Bruce Miller, he's been a long-time professional acquaintance of David Stern, and they're in regular contact about Louisville's opportunities and positioning to land an NBA franchise.
Excellent discussion, Albrecht Stommer. You should check out the website. They have petitions you can sign. All this information we've talked about and then some is at NBA2Lou.com. Could see Pro Hoops the Bluegrass State in a couple years after Seattle gets their team either through the courts or not.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's no denying Seattle is a fantastic market, and I think they deserve a team. And as successful as Oklahoma City has been, it's a shame that the Sonics ever left.